Well, good morning. I hope everybody's having a great week. Ethan and I are going to share about Psalm 34, continuing the Psalms throughout the summer. And it was really neat. I got to say, I loved having Bible study with Ethan. We don't do this often. We should do this more. And so we're both verbal processors. And as we were going through the Psalm, it was like bouncing ideas off each other and, you know, just like a really good Bible study that we do with our other friends too. So today we're going to share what stood out to us about Psalm 34, which was written as a Hebrew acrostic, probably to help them remember to be able to say it off by heart. And there's quite a few of those. And remember the first week when Daryl talked about the different types of psalms. This one is a praise psalm. And you'll see that as we go through it. It's all the way through. He's praising God, he's exalting God, and he's inviting others to join him, which is very cool. David desired to praise God in any circumstance, and he was certain of God being on his side. And that's what we hope you go home with today. The intro to Psalm 34 is very interesting. I've read this psalm before, and I don't remember reading the intro. So we want to just dive into that a little bit. It says, and you can follow on the front of your first page of your handout, "The Lord, a provider and deliverer, a psalm of David, when he feigned madness before Abimelech and drove him away and he departed." Who drove him away? Mm-hmm.
So he pretended to be insane to escape Achish, king of Gath, known by the title Abimelech, which is like saying Pharaoh. It's a title for a king. And this caught my attention because it seems like such an interesting circumstance to realize that your life is in danger, that somebody might try and kill you, and then your response to that is, well, I'm going to pretend to be insane to hide my identity, then they might not notice me. So almost hiding in plain sight, right? But it's also very interesting because even in the midst of hiding who he is and humiliating himself, he chooses to praise God and rely on him. And it's interesting for me to theorize, maybe he found inspiration or was thinking through things in this psalm as he's in this difficult situation. So, and we see things in the psalm about relying on God and praising him. And coming to him with our needs.
Yeah, and so the really neat thing is there's a cross-reference for this portion of Scripture back in 1 Samuel. And so if you flip your handout over, there's a portion of 1 Samuel, the end of 21 and the first verse of 22. So what would be really cool if you all closed your eyes, you can follow along on the sheet because it's in front of you, but if you want to, you can close your eyes. Try and imagine being in this circumstance. What you would have done, what David did, how it could have all been portrayed. "When David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath, but the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one who danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let the saliva run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house?' So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him."
So first, David was a fugitive of Saul, which means that he was a fugitive from his own people, a fugitive in his own land, and so he escapes to a foreign land, but he remains a fugitive because he's still a fugitive there of now a foreign king, and has to run for his life from these other people and hide in a cave for his life. But we see that, like he'll talk about in the psalm, in his time of need, hiding in the cave, God provides for him. And his father's household comes to help him and maybe even just give him support in this time because, he's hiding for his life. And maybe this is even when he continued to write the psalm, but it doesn't really specify. I didn't see anything about when he actually wrote it, but.
Mm-hmm. Yes, likely it was mulling around in there, if not writing it. So, as Ethan and I were studying Psalm 34, we decided to try and put the psalm into our own words, because sometimes it sinks in better if you try and paraphrase it or give a summary. So I'm going to read each portion divided by the lines on your sheet, and then Ethan will give a summary that we came up with. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
So choosing to praise God and be humble before him.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them.
God is a reliable source of help.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing.
God provides for those who seek him.
Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Choosing to fear the Lord and live in his way.
The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
God cares for his own.
Many of the afflictions of the righteous, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
God redeems and has mercy for his own.
So as we have all those summaries, it's kind of like the meaning was slimmed down for us, and Ethan actually looked at it and noticed a pattern that was coming out in the psalm.
So to me it seems like it starts out with one section calling you to do something, and then two sections giving you reasons why, and then another section calling you to do something, and then two sections with more reasons why. So it starts out calling you to praise God and choose humility before him, and then tells you about how he is a reliable source of help, and that he will provide for you, and then tells you to fear him and live in his way, and then says that when you do this, that he will care for you. He will redeem you and have mercy on you.
Mm-hmm. So we also see an emphasis on blessing and praising God at all times, and especially like all the way through, really. But when you look at verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now you think back to what he just went through. What did he just go through? He was running for his life from not just one person, but probably an army from King Achish. And then it's hard for me to put myself in that situation and think, how would I have reacted He was quick on his feet. Obviously, he's a creative man, probably a good actor. And off he ran. So I just thought, wow. And for him to see God's hand in all these pieces, even though it must have felt like, what in the world is going on? How can I even react to this? We can see in 1 Samuel and in Psalm 34 that David wanted to praise God in the dangerous times, then in the freedom of escaping. Then when his family is all around him in the cave, he actually mentions them. He calls them to join him in exalting the Lord and magnifying him. That's the word they use, right? And then he calls for them to, yes, magnify the Lord with him. But if we think about the word magnify, what do we think of as what the word magnify means? Who wants to shout out a definition? Give glory to, yeah.
Is that what you said? Enlarge.
Oh, enlarge. I'm sorry. I heard it wrong. I don't mean to fill in your words. Thank you. We need younger ears. Oh, no. It's all of the above. So, yes, to make larger. We think of a magnifying glass, right? To make things larger so we can see more clearly, right? And do we want to know God more clearly? Yeah. That really hit us in the Psalms. That I guess I'd never really thought of what magnify meant in this realm. And I thought, oh my goodness, like to magnify God, I always thought of to glorify him, to make him bigger. Yes, true. He is bigger. He is more powerful. He is more amazing. And our glory is meant to acknowledge that. But what if magnifying him also makes us see him? Sorry. Why am I crying? Also makes us see him more clearly. How cool is that, right? How cool is that? Okay, back to the notes. For they were going to magnify his name and see him more clearly. Oh, it's your turn.
Yes, and it's also interesting that as David is magnifying the Lord, he was humbling himself, and he tells us to humble ourselves, but also he chooses to be humble, and we see this in the story in 1 Samuel, where he is being about as humble as someone can be, choosing to be the lowest of the low, a madman who's like raving in the streets, and a very low thing for a king to stoop to, but he's doing this both to save himself. But it almost seems to me like he's making an example where as he humbles himself to survive, he also calls us to humble ourselves before God as he continues in humility in the psalm. And yeah, choosing to be humble, to boast in God's magnificence.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that David refers to the ones who will hear his praise and rejoicing as humble, right in the psalm there. There seems to be a connection between humility and praising God. Could it be that we need to be humble to trust him? This goes against my nature because humility is hard to choose. It's hard to say, well, I'm going to be humble now. That sounds a little prideful, right? How do we just choose to be humble? I heard one person, I forget who it was, describe humility as thinking outward. Might have been you, Norm. I'm not sure. The opposite of thinking selfishly, to think of others before yourself. So being humble is thinking outward. Another way to think of it is to look at what we don't want to be, which is prideful. Dr. Tim Keller has described this relationship of pride and trust this way. Worry feels like responsibility, but it's really just pride in disguise. It takes humility to admit that we don't have all the answers, to trust that when life isn't going our way, well, there's something bigger at work, even though we don't see what it is. Is that how David was able to go from being frightened for his life, literally running for his life, to praising and trusting God in the cave with the people that met him, telling them how God had saved him, giving him the glory for rescuing him from that danger. It sounds like David didn't know what the outcome would be at first, but he believed in God's sovereignty, in his power, in his provision, and in his deliverance.
So how can we consistently praise God and trust in him to be near to us, to be our savior, our provider, even when we end up going through scary or hard things? In order to apply this, we can be like David, using him as an example, and to humble ourselves while putting God in his place above us. When we do this, we can rely on God to provide what we need and that he has our best interests in his plan. On the back of your handout, there are a couple of questions just to engage with what we were talking about. So you can get into groups of 3 to 5, discuss it for a while, and then the worship team will come up after that to close us out. And yeah, I hope we talked for long enough.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us try this out. And we pray that you will go home with something that God has touched your heart with, even if it's not something we said, but hopefully it highlighted something you're already working through. So bless you.
So just before we close out with the final song, do we have any other points that anyone wants to share or comments, other questions, or even answers to the 4 questions that we gave?
So we just kept on talking about the duality throughout the passage of, you know, he's saying these blessings, but he's talking about these terrible things as well. And a verse that stood out in particular was 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And just that focus on it's not all good all the time. Like, many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Thank you, Eddie.
In verse 14, I noticed he said, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." He could have ended it off at "seek peace," and I truly believe everybody seeks peace to some degree, and peace is different for everybody. Peace can be family, friends, warfare, anything really. And the only difference is that he added in "pursue it," because there's a difference in choosing to just seek it and praise it, but never go and actually take the ambition to go and find it.
Thank you.
Okay, we were also asked if we would share the summaries again for each of the 6 portions. And the first one is praise God and choose humility. The second is God is a reliable source of help. And then God provides for those who seek him. Fear the Lord and live his way, which is the best way. God cares for his own is the 5th. And finally, God redeems his own and has mercy.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a good Sunday.